Everybody, welcome to Matt Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt,
I'm Dory,
the star of the podcast, obviously. I know you all tune in for me, and you just sit through Dory. Thanks so much, everybody. I appreciate it. Thank you to all you Forever 35 fans who also listen to that for stories about me.
I quit.
Dory was in here on the phone. I really had thought she started the podcast by herself and was kind of delighted. And I was hoping it was done by the time she came back.
That would be so weird if I did that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a I have a 25-minute chunk of me just talking to myself. Because you got up and were like, fuck you, when I'm out. Remember?
That was a long time ago.
It wasn't that long ago. It was Wednesday.
It wasn't Wednesday.
Hi, everyone.
I didn't even see you on Wednesday.
We're back. Yeah, or Thursday. Whew. 76 hours of shooting last week.
It's a lot of hours.
That's my Monday through Friday, guys.
I know you all just come here to hear Matt complain about work.
No, some do. Not complaining. Look.
We should be grateful.
Grateful that I have the ability to work.
Exactly.
And that I have the wherewithal to stay in Anaheim when we had to shoot in Tarzana the next day.
Tarzana?
Where did I say?
Torrance.
That's what I meant. And then when I got up and started driving, I was like, fuck, I'm driving into traffic. It would have been shorter from home.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Anyway, we're back. We shot at Disneyland, everybody. It was a hoot. I hope you all enjoyed it.
You will enjoy it.
And then I stayed one extra night over at Disneyland and went up to my bed, 5:50 p.m. And then I said, not leaving this. And I stayed there until the next morning at 6:30.
How'd that feel?
Okay. I mean, I woke up at like 1 and I was like, okay, where's... Oh.
You didn't go to bed at 5. You didn't go to sleep at 5:50, did you?
I pretty much ordered room service and then went to sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. You texting me at like 8:45, I was like, what?
Well, I was in Orlando, not at Disney World.
I know.
Confusingly.
Tragic.
Yeah. I was at a podcast conference.
Well, did you guys figure it out?
Yes.
Well,
we stopped by
the news?
We stopped by the Zoom booth and I told the guy there who looked very sad.
Did you tell him that
I told him
one,
that,
two, three, I think there's four of them sitting here?
No, but I told him that we like his equipment.
I do.
And he was like, thank you.
I love his equipment. I just wish I didn't constantly break his equipment by being me and not putting things away correctly.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much you.
I mean, it's not, guys, honestly, these things, I have a Zoom
H4
from 2008 that still works fine.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's quality equipment.
It's good equipment. What can
we
I say?
We use it. We're using a Zoom H6N.
Yep.
1, 2, 3. There's one at work, 4. Andy has 1, 5. That's it. We have 5 right now.
Cool.
How many are totally functional? 3.
No, it was actually, it was really cool. It was crazy to just see, like, how many people are involved in this whole podcast ecosystem.
Yeah, I know. I was there early.
Yep. You were too early.
And I turned that into an empire. I don't have to do anything at all except podcasts. And boy, oh boy, I struck while the iron was hot. Matt Myra, he strikes while the iron is not. Hello, everyone. Boy, that's depressing.
Sorry.
Honey, we could be millionaires.
Well,
if I had figured out podcasting when everyone else did or something. I don't know.
I think you just always saw it as like a side project.
Oh, the side hustle, girl.
Yeah.
I love side hustles. All of my life is a side hustle. 80 hours a week side hustling this week.
That's your main hustle.
I front hustle sometimes. My side, front, back hustle. A lot of hustling. Point is, everyone, don't stop working.
Did you turn the oven off?
No, my timer just went off, though, which means my Quest protein pizza is ready.
Okay, you should go get that.
Because it's 10:53 in the morning.
Yep.
Why not?
It's time to eat a Quest protein pizza.
BRB. You gonna keep going or what?
I don't know. I was going to, and then you seemed to think that I wasn't going to. Anyway, hi, everyone. Finally, I can tell you all what I really think about my husband, Matt Myra. JK, I'm not going to say anything bad. I wouldn't say anything bad about him. He's a great husband, and he's a great dad. And you know what? He got really sad last week when he didn't get to see Henry. Like, really sad. He came home, and he was like, Henry's gotten so big. And then on Sunday night, right before his bath, Matt started to cry because he wasn't going to see Henry all week. He got so sad. Remember how he's been saying that he's been more emotional lately? Well, I saw it, IRL. He got really, really sad. And then I got sad. And then I was like, I'm not going to see Henry this week because I'm going to Orlando. I only went for one night, but it was like two full days. I left, I fed Henry Wednesday morning, and then I went to the airport, and then I wasn't back till like midnight on Thursday, like 11:59 p.m. Thursday, you know what I mean? Not like 12:01 a.m. Thursday morning. Anyway, it was hard. It was hard to be away from him, especially like by the second day, by Thursday morning, I was like, all right, I'm ready to be home. Also, you know, I pump four times a day and I feed Henry with my boobs twice a day. But when I was in Orlando, I was pumping six times a day because I wanted to replace the two times that I normally boob him. And for some reason, just those extra two times, it felt very depressing. I don't know. I don't know why. But then again, you think about it, and it's like, well, that is 50% more times. So I guess that does kind of make sense.
What's depressing now?
I was just talking to our listeners.
Yeah.
It was between us.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. We're
pumping.
Back.
Pumping while I was away was a little depressing.
Why?
Because normally.
He had to do it more because he wasn't eating it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. You know, look.
It is what it is.
How'd you feel after not seeing him for a couple days?
Sad.
Yeah, right? Could you imagine going 5 days like that?
No, I was just telling everyone about that, about how you got so sad.
Oh, yeah.
And you cried.
I cried. Bedtime. Because he grew so much. Babies change a lot really quickly, everybody.
Newsflash.
And then last night, Dory's like going through pictures, going like, look at how small he is. I'm like, that was like a month ago.
I know, but he was so much smaller.
Yeah, but it's also like, he's still a baby.
I know, but now he's a different baby.
He's in his crib. He still can't get from his stomach to his back.
I know. He looks like a little squash bug.
Yeah. He slept pretty well.
He slept till 5 a.m.
Great.
Through the night.
Yeah.
Which is good.
6:45 to 5.
Yeah. We got to deal with his leaking diaper situation.
You put on the overnight diapers?
Yeah, and they leaked even worse.
Of course they did, because they're too big.
No, they're size 2.
They're too big.
Well, I posed this question to one of my mom Facebook groups.
And they were like, why aren't you changing your baby in the middle of the night?
No. They said, try these things called sposies, which are like basically pads you put inside the diaper. So I ordered some.
Do they think that you mean it's leaking urine? Because it's just...
No, I said poop. I specified
explosions.
Poop. And I included a picture of his butt.
No.
I mean, not his bare butt, but like his pajamas this morning with so many stains on them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's just in there shitting through the night. If you came out of that clean, I'd be impressed.
So, and then someone else suggested putting two diapers on him. So I was thinking maybe we would do a size 2 and then on top a size 3.
The kid's not going to be comfortable.
Well, is it comfortable to be sitting in your own poop?
Never. But imagine sitting in your own poop and another poop collector layered over that.
I don't know. Just all seems uncomfortable.
I changed them this morning.
I know.
And then we fell back asleep. We went back to bed.
Mm-hmm. Not together.
Safe no, he was in everywhere. His crib and I was in the day bed, but yeah. We were in the same room.
Mm-hmm. But then you came back to bed.
Yeah, because I was like, I think the coast is clear. He'll sleep.
Yeah, and he did.
Yep.
That was smart.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm very smart sometimes.
You are.
Guys, I don't know what to do about this baby.
What do you mean?
I just don't know.
What are you talking about?
He seems to need so much attention.
What?
He's such an attention baby.
He is not.
He's like, give me food. Every couple hours, he's like, give me food.
Uh-huh. So he's a baby?
Rave reviews from the grandparents visiting.
Oh, my gosh. They were obsessed with him.
They're big fans.
Big fans.
I still haven't looked to check what Avishai's sleep score was, but...
It was my mom's.
Oh, your mom slept on that side.
My dad slept on the couch.
He didn't want to take a swing at the sleep number bed?
Guess not.
Oh, my God. What a waste of his time. He missed that on a peaceful night of sleep.
Yeah, because the last time they saw him, he was real little. He was a blob.
Yeah.
And, like, sleeping most of the day.
Yeah. Oh, remember?
Barely. He would basically, like, sleep, wake up, eat, sleep. Wake up, eat, sleep. Wake up, eat, sleep.
I got to see him Friday morning.
Yeah.
Because their call time wasn't until...
8:30.
Super late call time. I mean, it really kind of is. It's an hour and a half after normal. I don't even know what I'm functionless at this point. Like, I woke up this morning thinking I was going to work. I was like, okay.
Oh, no.
And yesterday I thought I was going to work, too.
Oh, no.
And I was, like, ready to go to work.
Oh, no.
And then when I found out I was home, I was like, oh. What do I do with myself?
You were sad?
I was a little, like, lost.
Ah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I'm just going to have to figure it out.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Is it what you were expecting? Or is it worse? Or is it just different?
What do you mean?
Like, being on set all the time and being away from Henry.
Oh, being away from Henry is... worse than I thought it would be. Only because I don't see him at all. Like, I just don't. Like, even in the morning. Like, yeah. A lot of times I'm leaving the house and he's not up awake yet. So, yeah. It's like, oh. Because I thought I'd see him in the morning.
Yeah.
But last week was weird, and the week before that was weird because, you know, we had hour and a half away locations.
Right.
I was leaving at 5.
You were leaving so early.
Yeah.
So, you're at Sony this week?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay, well, hopefully you'll be able to see him a little bit in the
morning. Yeah, but it's not going to be a long time.
No, I know.
And I always feel bad when I hand him to you at 6:15 and I go, bye. That's what I do, because that's what I have to do.
It's okay.
All right.
It is what it is.
I could take him with me to work. You want to pick him up there around 7?
No.
Okay. I tried, guys.
I will say, Beauregard Bosch has been a trooper.
He is a trooper because he doesn't care about anything other than sleeping in the morning.
Yeah, like yesterday I was up with Henry at 5, I think, and then 5:30.
I think we've conditioned him to know that he's not getting a walk until, you know.
And then occasionally well he does Henry. Get antsy. So, yeah, so I was up with Henry, then I fed Henry starting a little early. I think I started at like 6:15 or 6, I don't remember. And then I was done. He fell asleep on the boob at like a little after 7.
Yeah.
And I put him back down in the crib, and then I went back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't wake up till like 9:30, and Bo came back into the bedroom and was asleep.
Yeah, he can sometimes handle that kind of thing. By the way, if anyone is following along across the multiple tiers of the extended universe of Dori Shafrir, Her car's still at the body shop. So, if you remember 3 or 4 weeks ago, whenever the hell that happened.
Yeah.
She did quite a number, guys.
Apparently I did.
In addition to my own number I did on it.
Yep.
A lot of numbers being done to that car.
So many numbers.
But the good news is, lease is up September.
Yep. I'm inclined to return it early.
Yeah, I think there's a penalty for that, isn't there? I don't know. Read your lease.
Is there?
Read the lease.
I don't know.
Why didn't you read the lease when I had you get the lease?
Oh my God.
Guys, this is what I put up with. Oh, update on the rental car. Destroyed the rim, everybody. Dori Shafir has decided to turn that car's wheel red by getting all of the red paint from a curb onto it and scraping the shit out of it. What do you think, guys? Did I pay for the extra insurance in the rental car because I knew Dori would be driving it? You're damn right I did. Hi, everyone. The point is, if you're out somewhere and Dori comes by and says, hey, can I use your car? Say no, I'll pay for an Uber. Thanks, everyone. It's too big. The car's too big. Okay, here's a very small SUV. Crunch. That's the Dory way. And then we're into commercial.
You know.
Yes, hon.
It's my one thing.
Yes, that's your one thing.
You have a lot of things.
Like what?
Like everything.
Oh, come on. I'm great at all things.
I'm looking at your things.
Guys, early economic indicator, the guitar market is slowing. A little? A lot? No. Medium. What does that mean? I don't know. But the last time this happened was 2008. Bum, bum, bum. Think about it. All right, that's my financial information for you all. Great time to start looking for a house. It's never going to work.
I'm sure we'll time the market perfectly.
Perfectly wrong, but we'll do it. We'll perfectly wrong it. Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I think what's important, everybody, is that through this time, I want you all to just remember, all really supporting the show, all that means is clicking on our links in the podcast description to our wonderful sponsors.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, we'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're back, everybody.
We sure are. Hi. We're going to kick things off with a voicemail today.
Hi-ya.
Okay.
Hi, guys. I'm Laura. I'm from Portland, and I'm calling because we have 4 donor-conceived embryos waiting for my transfer in about 2 weeks. And I'm curious if anyone out there has met their donor and has created some sort of relationship with them in any way. My husband and I sat down with our donor a couple weeks ago. It was an anonymous situation until that point. And I'm just kind of trying to figure out in the future what that could possibly look like, because we all left the door open for some sort of future contact. So I'm curious to put out the donor egg signal in that way. And I guess my other question is, it's been an exhausting year of doctor's appointments. And I know Dori, and I've heard of other people who have gone part-time or quit their jobs and kind of focused somewhere else during this time. And I'm just wondering what that was like, what that decision, what led to that decision, and how people are feeling, Dori and others are feeling, post-transitioning away from focusing on work and possibly focusing more on their health and creating a family. All right. Thank you very much. Bye.
Dori, how do you feel? First of all, do you have any input on donor egg embryo relationships?
I think it's totally up to you, but I personally think it's nice when there is a relationship because inevitably the kid is going to have questions.
Yeah, but then you end up with one of those like mid-90s made-for-TV movies where they come for your baby in some sort of legal drama.
Why are you giving me crazy eyes?
Because I've seen it happen on TV or I dreamt it. I don't know.
I don't think that happens.
Okay. I remember one made for TV movie or something. This white family had adopted this black child, and then years later, the mother came to take guardianship of the child. And then I remember this very sad scene where this kid went upstairs and put toothpaste all over his face so he'd be white, and then came down and asked if he could stay now. I also might have dreamed that. I didn't dream that. Does anyone remember that except for me? Oh, am God. I crazy? I could be.
Dear John. you're asking what I think about
taking time
to do IVF.
Focus on you and your health.
I think it's great. And also, this is a good topic. And this has come up a bunch in the Facebook group, actually. People asking this very question. So I would mosey over there and ask about it or do a search for past threads about it. Because I think some people have taken FMLA.
Yeah.
Prior to even getting pregnant.
Fuck my life, asshole.
Yes.
That's what FMLA is?
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yep. Okay. Good. Glad we had this talk.
I bet if I had taken some time off when we were doing that last transfer, that last
retrieval,
probably would have worked out better.
Yeah, probably.
But I was on set and flying to and from New York every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Never stop working, everybody.
Okay. This is from Anonymous. She asks, did you guys see this story in the news recently? Basically, a Cincinnati fertility clinic performed IVF for a family in 1994 and used someone else's sperm without the family's knowledge. It looks like the sperm used belonged to a doctor on staff, so it seems pretty unlikely that this was a simple mistake. It was discovered when the family did Ancestry.com testing and realized the daughter was not genetically related to who she thought was her biological father. It is such an appalling situation. I actually feel like I saw an episode of Law & Order SVU that dealt with something similar at some point. Anyway, the clinic in question is my clinic. The doctor involved is not my doctor, but I've seen him before when my regular doctor was on vacation. I've been with this clinic for 3 IUIs, 3 egg retrievals, 4 transfers, an early miscarriage, and finally, one successful round that resulted in my 4-month-old science baby, just two weeks older than Henry. I currently have 2 frozen embryos being stored with the clinic that we are hoping to transfer next year. Now I feel torn about continuing this clinic, knowing this very shady history.
That's very horrifying.
I ultimately think I'm going to stick with them since I worry about transporting the embryos to a different clinic, and this clinic is 5 minutes away from my house with a free parking garage. But I'm curious, what would you guys do in this situation? Love the pod. It has helped me so much along the long and tortured road that is infertility. Thank you so much.
I think we'd peace out.
Yeah, I agree. Also, it's really creepy that the doctor is still working there.
Yeah. What is happening?
Gross. Also, guaranteed that was not a one-off.
Right. More like a fun-off. He's just having some fun, guys.
I'm going to pretend you didn't say that.
Thank you.
Well.
What?
Okay, this is gross.
It is gross.
Do you think he used the jerk-off room in his own clinic?
Oh, sure. I mean, he wants the sperm to live. He doesn't want it to die. So he's kind of like transporting it. Although, in fairness, he has an office there. He probably uses his office.
Oh. Disgusting.
And like, is he paying off lab techs? Like, well, how is this happening?
So confusing.
Don't care for this place.
No,
I don't care how much parking
either.
Is free. I would pay $7 for parking.
Whoa,
to a better place.
You guys, that Matt is serious about this.
I don't care for it. I would DNA test that baby right now.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah.
Ew.
No. What?
Oh, God.
A little swab of the cheek. It's fine. It's probably yours, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That is really horrible.
I love Ancestry.com and Forever 23. What is it called? 23andMe.
My other podcast?
Because they seem to tear apart families left and right.
Yeah, it's great.
Just like, it's like, they should be like, Ancestry.com, what secrets are buried in your past?
Well, you know, they had a commercial about that, essentially, but it depicted like a slave and a slave owner. Uh-huh. And people were like, this is fucked up.
Well, I mean, just historically, what is the origins of your family?
Yeah, but the way they did it was not cool.
What I think is also fucked up is this doctor. I don't know. Well, did he like drop the sperm? I was like, fuck! I gotta put this sperm on this egg. I better make some quick.
Oh, God.
Was it a one-time accident?
I doubt it. It's never just once with these kinds of things.
Was this a clumsy scientist situation?
Why would there have been samples of the doctor's sperm lying around the lab?
Not lying around the lab. It was just one time. I think the doctor like took it and was like, oh, don't worry, Ted, yeah. I'll bring it over. And then he accidentally dropped it.
No.
All over the floor.
No.
He's like,
no.
Oh, no.
No.
What am I going to do?
No, that's not what
happened.
His
family's going to be so mad.
No, that's not what happened.
I better make up for this quickly.
That's not what happened.
Oh.
But that's probably what he sounded like.
And then he dropped it.
Yeah.
You all know how these things happen.
Okay. All right. This next email is from Charlie. Hi, Matt and Dory. Greetings from NYC. My name is Charlie. I started listening to the podcast earlier this month. I've been a longtime Nerdist podcast fan, but only remembered about the
fuck took you so long, Charlie?
Charlie, he didn't mean that. Only remembered about the IVF podcast after re-listening to an old Hostful episode. I know that you have many newer episodes, but I wanted to start from the beginning and hear your whole story.
Oh, good luck.
My wife and I are currently attempting conception the old-fashioned way. We're both younger. I'm 31 and she's 30, and we've only been trying for a few months. That said, I was curious to learn more about IVF and prepare myself in case we have to follow that path in months or years to come. I'm in the middle of episode 13, which started with Matt talking about how he has to quit smoking.
Yeah. It seems like every 13 episodes, that's what I'm talking about.
I've been a smoker, real cigs, not cloves, on and off since I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Like Matt, I smoke to help relieve tension, and in my job, I work in customer service.
There you go.
There's a lot of stress. I know that quitting smoking will help with conception, but can also improve my health and the health of our future children. Even knowing this intellectually, I feel so stuck in trying to stop. The worst thing is that I've lied to my wife.
Who hasn't?
And she thinks I've been smoke-free for the last few weeks.
Oh, buddy. She'll find out.
I'm sure this will blow up.
Oh. Hello? Hello?
I'm sure.
Is that Kate?
No.
No.
I'm sure this will blow up in my face soon. Wait, how do I turn off my notifications?
No,
don't want Siri.
You go up to the top corner.
Yep.
You go to the thing that has all your notifications.
Yep.
And then you scroll up past what they're showing you.
Uh-huh. Wait,
and that whole menu thing.
Yeah.
Like you see all the things.
Yeah.
You can actually scroll up.
No, it won't let me. Oh, cool.
Hi, I'm Matt, former Mac genius.
Current Mac genius.
Yeah, always. You
okay.
Know?
I'm sure this will blow up in my face soon, but that still doesn't help motivate me to stop. Matt, if you had tactics or methods that were successful for you with cessation, I'd love any advice you have to offer. I'm also a big guy, and I'm curious how your doctors suggested lifestyle changes regarding smoking compared to weight loss. Did you wind up losing or gaining weight in addition to quitting smoking? Did that have any impact on your subsequent IVF cycles? I have not skipped ahead to see if you were actually successful in quitting or in getting pregnant.
Good luck.
So I'll be excited to learn the outcome and maybe hear you read this email on air several weeks or months from now.
Oh, it's going to be months. I mean, you got 160 episodes to get through, pal.
And he says, if you're still in IVF land, I wish you the best of luck. And I'm excited to get farther into the podcast. Right now, I'm on a stalled subway, so I can probably binge two more episodes before I get home.
Wow.
Best, Charlie from NYC.
Charlie. It's tough, man. It's one of the toughest things I've ever done in my life is try to quit smoking and then start smoking again because you feel like such a failure when you start again. You know, it's an on and off struggle, and it continues to this very day. Currently today, right now. And I definitely gain weight every time I stop because I end up snacking. Which is why tomorrow, it's a shake for breakfast, a shake for lunch, and a sensible dinner.
That's right, everyone. Matt's doing Slim Fast because it's 1991.
I don't know. I have to do something. So tired of it. I don't know. I'm trying to, you know, bike more. Now between shots, I'm biking when we're turning around.
That's great.
So I just ride around a lot. But I'm really hoping my commuter bike finally ships at some point so I can bike all the way to work. Hi, I'm Dori Shafrir.
I turned it off.
I am the queen of
noises. I don't know what this
noises.
Is. I don't know what that was.
It sounds like it was Skype or a messages. No, not a like your phone.
But I have it on Do Not Disturb and nothing even showed up. What is happening?
I don't know. It wasn't me for once.
Guys, I am so sorry.
So, yeah, for me, it's easy, very easy to quit, to not smoke when I'm not working. So, like, hiatuses and stuff like that, it's very easy. But the more stressed I am, and the habitual nature of breaks, you know. It's bad. It's not fun. Most successful I was when I did the Alan Carr stop smoking. But then I started smoking again. Does that count as success? I don't know. Anyway. You'll catch up eventually. You'll hear about all of it.
All right. This is from Jessica.
Don't remember if I took one.
I don't think you did.
Go ahead, Jessica.
First, congrats on Henry. I'm so happy for you guys and love hearing your updates about Henry and his milestones. I've also learned some really valuable information about sleep safety, like baby plus dog in the same room plus sleeping parents equals not safe. True story.
That's what we think. Yeah, we've yet to have to test it out, thank God.
I also love that you and Matt have found things to do together that you both enjoy. My husband and I also love watching Instant Hotel and Blown Away. We love making bets and guesses at the beginning of the season about who the top two or three contestants will be, and bets at the beginning of an episode about who will be that episode's best. You know, spoiler for season one of Instant Hotel.
Yeah,
I would not have guessed that Babe and Bondi
made it to the end.
Yes.
So, spoiler, extra spoiler alert.
I said spoiler alert.
Good God. And then watching the first part of the next season, you would not guess the other outcome either.
No.
Really pays off if you just watch it to the end, guys.
All right. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts about my situations.
The devil's in the details. And you're not the devil.
Right. My husband and I have been trying since June 2016 and seeing an RE since July 2017. We are both 31. I have PCOS and don't ovulate regularly. He has normal sperm. So far, we've done 3 IUIs.
Fucking humble brag.
All failed, but we did get a false positive beta on the third IUI, which was a real mind fuck. Last June, we did our first egg retrieval and had 21 eggs retrieved, 16 mature and fertilized, and 6 blasts. We opted to skip PGS testing since we were 30 and the odds seemed to be in our favor. We did 2 hormone replacement FETs of single embryo transfers last fall. Neither worked, so my RE agreed to try a semi-natural FET. I took letrozole as though we were going to do an IUI, and it kind of worked a little. First beta came back at 14, and second beta 2 days later was 4. On my RE's recommendation, we did an ERA the next cycle, or we tried to anyway. I stopped responding to letrozole and then ovulated on my own in between monitoring appointments. We had to scrap the first ERA cycle and try again with the hormone replacement protocol that I had used during my first FETs. Lupron and birth control suppression, then estradiol pills in increasing doses, and finally, everyone's favorite med, PIO in the butt. After an incredibly painful procedure, the results came back that my lining was pre-receptive and I needed an extra 24 hours of PIO. We transferred our 4th embryo on August 6th, and first beta is on the 16th. Assuming this transfer doesn't work, we have 2 embryos left and the option to do 2 more single embryo transfers or 1 dual embryo transfer. My husband is on team transfer 1 at a time, and I'm on the fence. Logically, I know that transferring one at a time has better cumulative odds of succeeding, but transferring both at the same time means we can get to our next retrieval sooner if that transfer fails too. What would you do, Jessica?
One at a time.
Yep, same.
See, since we're both team one at a time and your husband's team one at a time and you're on the fence, feels like you should come party with us.
I agree. But also, you know, you had your beta 2 days ago. Maybe it worked.
August 6th. That was, I think, the date of,
August 6th was the transfer. Yeah, that was our transfer too.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy.
Boy, oh boy.
Sometimes Dory doesn't remember things that I do.
No, I thought you were talking about the beta.
Oh, honey, I was never talking about the beta.
Okay. Oh, she's a PS.
Yeah.
I know you two are both originally from the Boston area. We've moved to Cambridge a few years ago and still have so much to explore and see here. Any recommendations on must-see or eat-at places in the Boston-Cambridge area, especially if it's off the beaten path?
You know, I love the S&S Deli. It's on Cambridge Street. And the Royal Bakery. Best sandwich breads you could ever get in your life. The rolls are fucking great there. And their cake is delicious. And that's also on Cambridge Street. Dory? Remember that place we went to with your parents? I think it was Mediterranean?
Oh, yeah.
That was in East Cambridge.
What was that place called?
Delicious.
Don't remember.
But it was delicious.
That was a long time ago.
Was it?
Wasn't it?
I don't know. And then that place that we went to that was next to the Brattle.
Yes.
That was good, too.
Also, don't remember that place.
It was a burger. They had a burger on the menu that you could only get.
Oh, yeah. They limited,
until it ran out.
Limited edition burger.
And I didn't get it. But I would have gotten it. Yeah. That's not really telling you that some place is good. That's just me being like, here's what I would have tried.
Yeah.
I miss it.
We're going
5 weeks away, baby. We'll be living in Brookline for 4 days.
We gotta get our flights.
Well, you know, now that we're trying to save for a house, I think we should walk.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, we're gonna take another short break.
No, but it's so much fun.
Okay,
guys, when we come back, it'll be post Rye class. How many times will Henry have flipped over? Tune in to find out. BRB.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello.
Wait, now we're back.
Oh, okay. Hello, everyone.
Can't wait to tell you about Rye class. It was great.
You didn't go.
I did not go.
You slept through it.
Dory made the mistake of thinking I was just skipping out on Bombas. What? No, not Bombas. They're socks. I put the socks on.
Then
went and took a nap. Matt said, I'm taking a nap.
I'm taking a nap. And
because Dory's like, take him out of the thingamajiggy, the car seat, the stroller, rather, because I'm going to go pump. So I'm like, it's like 20 minutes. And then I was sitting in that chair and I was like, I'm exhausted. I'm going to go take a nap.
So I thought he meant I'm going to go take a nap and not go to Rye because he had also been sort of like, do I have to go? And I was like,
That's true. You
don't have to go.
I say that about everything, though.
And so when he said, I'm going to go take a nap, I was like, okay, I guess he's skipping class, which is fine.
And I totally expected my wife to go in and go, okay, it's time to go. And then I was going to get up and go. But the reality is I did not wake up until the dog was barking like a maniac.
When I was coming home.
And I like got up and I was like, what's happening?
And we were coming home from ride class.
Yeah. And according to the, sleep number bed, I literally slept from 12, whatever time it was you were pumping.
It was like 11:45.
Okay. So I slept from then until 1:14 p.m.
Okay. So you slept for an hour and a half.
I slept for literally the entire time of the class.
Yep.
Guess I needed it. How'd Henry do?
He did well. You know, he was just rolling around.
Being a baby?
Being a baby.
That's good. He's a good baby.
Yeah, he's a good baby.
10 out of 10 would recommend that baby.
I fed him in class.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then I thought he was done. Put him back on the mat. And then he was like fussing. And I was like, I guess you need more food. Fed him the rest of the bottle. Pretty cool.
He's been chowing down some food today.
Yeah. Yeah, he did chow down some food
today. He chowed down a lot yesterday, too.
Yep, yep, yep. He's growing. He's always growing.
Growth spurt every time. Growth spurt.
All right.
We're back.
Let's go on.
Let's talk some trying to make a baby via IVFs.
Well, this next email is from Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I've been listening since your adventure began and had an experience lately that you guys helped me through. Our 12-year-old dog, Cody, has had a rough year. 2 bouts of pneumonia earlier this year and now our latest issue. All 3 required stays at the animal hospital, but his latest issue, pancreatitis, was by far the worst and most expensive by far he has gotten yet. Our vet's recommendation was surgery, but we decided not to put our boy through that. Instead, we brought him home with a lot of drugs to make him comfortable. We thought we would have 24 hours to love on him before we had to make the tough call to put him down. Last Monday, we brought him home. Our parents, who often watch Cody for us, came over to say goodbye. We all loved on him. Then that night, my husband, Cody, and I all curled up in bed. We both wrote down all the things we loved about him, from his obsessive compulsive behavior about his ball to how he always tries to lick our legs after a shower. We talked for hours about all of the things we wanted to remember about our guy. We went to bed crying, thinking the next day would be it.
Oh my God, this is so sad.
When we woke up the next morning, our boy was perky and wanted to eat, which he hadn't done without a feeding tube for over a week. Wow. We all snuggled on the couch and watched Instant Hotel. Thanks for the recommendation, by the way.
You're welcome.
And by the end of that day, Cody was wanting to play ball. We are on borrowed time with our boy, but it does look like he is slowly improving. His pancreatitis is likely to return, but for now, I have Cody cuddled up next to me while I write this a week later. My point of writing this is because Matt always gets upset thinking about the end of Beau's life. I just wanted to say that as someone going through this, write down and record all the things you love about him.
So much.
Record all the wacky things he does and his moments with Henry. Having our night to remember our boy within there was very therapeutic, and I wish we did it more often with just less crying and more laughing. We're taking it day by day over here, but your podcast and Instant Hotel are helping us through. All the best, Brittany. 3,900 square feet in Phoenix, 2 adults, 1 dog, and a kid, and another dog in our future, and Matt is crying.
It's true. Guys, I get really emotional about that dog. I love him so much.
You also get really emotional about our son.
I tell Bo I love him all the time. All the stupid things he does. Like when he crawls up on the couch and just tries to sit on it like nobody should sit on a couch. Oh, Bo. Wait, where is he? What's he doing?
I think he's in the living room on the couch.
Oh, he doesn't even care about us anymore.
Nope.
Screw that dog. What's next?
This is from Anne Marie.
Just kidding, Bo. I love you.
Hi, Matt and Dory. I'm a new listener to your podcast. We've had a couple new listeners this week.
What's going on?
Hey, new listeners. Started listening about 2.5 weeks ago, and I'm on episode 105. Insane,
Holy
right?
Holy shit.
I'm one episode away from your San Francisco Live Wired episode.
Oh, yeah.
Just wanted to say how much I love your relationship, the information on IVF, and the look into your personal lives. I'm not trying to conceive. As a matter of fact, I'm an aspiring grandmother. Oh. My kids are 27, 25, and 18. I now find myself thinking of their fertility. I've advised my sons not to use their heated car seats, and I'm finding a way to approach my daughter about that AMH blood test to test her egg age. My 18-year-old son is gay, so I've advised my husband that we have to start saving to help our son and his future life partner with egg donor, IVF, surrogate, etc. Mm-hmm. As he's only 18, he isn't even thinking about kids, but someday I don't want money to be the barrier to him having a family. Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
That's very sweet.
That's like the nicest thing I've ever heard. Congratulations on your pregnancy. You are currently 10 weeks. Hoping all turned out well, but I'm not letting myself jump ahead. Matt, love that you grew up in Lowell. You actually grew up on a street a few streets away from where I lived in Lowell.
Which one? Where would you live on? Virginia Ave?
Went to the Brooks Pharmacy all the time.
Oh, I worked there.
Anyway, thank you for sharing your IVF experience.
It's amazing. That's a small world.
That's so cool. Thanks, Anne-Marie. You sound like a great mom.
You know, if we can help some people out there become better people out there, then it's all worth it. Tell you what isn't worth it. That parking fee for Henry.
Ugh. Guys, he'll never get over it.
I won't.
All right. This next email is from Sandal. Mandori.
The resort?
No.
Oh, because if they were like, come to Sandals.
I'd you want to like, go to Sandals?
Sure. It's all-inclusive, right?
It is.
Well, I've never been on an all-inclusive trip. It sounds delightful.
I mean, you don't have to worry about anything.
I mean, I've been like on work trips where it was technically all-inclusive.
Mm.
But it was not like a Sandals.
No. All right, Matt and Dory, as a desert dweller with a cycling-obsessed husband, Matt, you have to get gator skin tires.
I have gator skin tires. They were gator skin tires. That's what you need to understand. I replaced them with a newer set of gator skins. But continue with the email.
She says, well, there might be other brands, but that's the one I remember my husband talking about that helps prevent thorns piercing the tires. Also, we're moving from an 850-square-foot apartment to a 1,200-square-foot house, and I'm so excited.
Nice.
Not only will we have a backyard for Reggie Barkley, 93-pound greyhound.
That's a Star Trek reference, Reginald Barkley, honey.
But I will have my own office and will no longer have to share an office with my husband and his four bicycles.
Oh, that's a dream.
So, Dory, I understand you're fraught with a husband with a large object hobby.
It's true. You have many large objects behind you right now.
We also have a cat, but he's fine wherever. Thanks, Sandal.
We also have a cat, but he doesn't give a shit.
Nope.
Because he's a cat.
All right. This next email is from Lauren.
Cats really do seem much less maintenance.
Yes, they are. That's why people like cats.
Yeah, I get it. But also, like, would I be sitting here crying over my cat?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think you're going to hear from a lot of cat people.
No, of course. Cats are just like the dog. They are a member of the family. I'm being facetious talking about the cats.
Thank you.
Hopefully you all get your cats pretty litter.
Yes. / adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You two have talked about having a financial advisor that has helped you guys. I have looked for such a person and I only come up with financial advisors who invest for you. And I have one of those. I would love to have someone who goes into the details that your guy has done with you, but what are they specifically called?
You know, I don't know that it's a thing, really.
Ours is called a financial coach.
That's Dylan. He teaches finance.
Yep. And if you go to dylanteachesfinance.com and you sign up on his website and you say that you're a listener of the podcast, he'll give you 20% off your first month.
Which is a bargain. You know? I mean, I think we're in way better shape now than we were before Dylan.
We're in much better shape.
See?
It's crazy.
That is some positive.
And he does video meetings, so you can meet with him wherever.
Yeah, you don't have to be in Los Angeles, because quite frankly, he's not going to be in LA that long anyway.
Yeah, he's moving.
He's heading north.
Yep.
But we're continuing because we can Skype with him.
Yep.
Over the internets.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, internets.
All right. Well, she lives in a 5,500-square-foot house.
Well.
With her husband, herself, and our 70-pound sheep-a-doodle, Pippa, and our two Shih Tzus, Bernard and Boomer, and hopefully a little kiddo before too long, too.
Well,
we trade gorgeous views for amazing real estate value in Oklahoma.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. I getcha.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
I think you'll find him very helpful. It's really it's like getting John Taffer in there to look at your bar, you know, when he peels open the books.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wait, peel back the curtain and crack open the books. That's what he does.
Yep.
Because quite frankly, you know, you might not know exactly what you'd have to really. It's interesting to really look at where is the money being spent.
Where is it being spent? Okay.
Do we have an answer yet?
Where it's being spent?
Yeah.
She's
gesturing towards these guitars, which are all free. Because they've paid for themselves in joy.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Good talk.
Okay. Ingrid has a non-IVF-related question for the Disney portion of the podcast.
Well, I am here to celebrate the Disney portion of the podcast. A lot of Disney happening in this house lately. I was there on Wednesday. Actually spent two nights in Disney, honey.
Yeah, you did.
But
you didn't. Did you go to the park other than shooting?
Okay. No. I could have the second night. First night I went, had dinner with one of the showrunners, and then We were going to go Napa Rose. We were going to go to the park.
Romantic.
We were so romantic. Mm. The Bishop family. That's the two of us. We went to go get it because there were tickets left for us by ABC. But like it was like 10 o'clock at night. And like the will calls closed at like 10. Oh. Park was only open for two more hours. And we were like, we could just buy tickets. And then we were both like, we gotta be up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no.
Let's skip it. And then the next day, after I got back to the hotel, I was gonna go at night because Hardwick was there anyway, just randomly there that day. And I was gonna go meet up with him. And I got to that bed and I was like, no,
yeah.
I physically cannot do this right now.
You know, I think it's good that you've been listening to your body.
I've been listening to my body really hate me for a while.
Mm. Well, Ingrid wants to know.
Yeah.
She says, I live in Australia and haven't visited any of the Disney parks or been to many theme parks here or overseas. Would you please explain the appeal of Disney theme parks in particular? It seems like such a big part of American popular culture, and I'm interested in your perspective. Thank you. Best wishes, Ingrid. Oh, also, she says, P.S. I live alone in a 610 square foot apartment in Sydney with no pets except the family of possums who live in the tree outside my bedroom window. I woke up in the middle of the night a few months ago to find two possums perched at the end of my bed. I was very startled and spent close to an hour chasing them around my room and back up the window. I've installed a fly screen, so thankfully haven't had any recent nocturnal visits from my possum friends. Anyway, back to the question at hand.
Well handled.
Yes, yes.
You ever go to one of Sydney's most sought-after suburbs, which is actually number 310 of 320?
That was
Instant Hotel.
That was a low blow when they brought that up.
If you're a number one TripAdvisor,
top 1%
of TripAdvisor reviews, then mm-hmm. you should know not to be bullshitting.
Yep.
Well, I think the appeal to Disneyland is escapism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's known as branded as the happiest place on earth, you know?
Yep.
Everyone there is a cast member that's working there. You're part of a show,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's just a place, you know, I think a lot of kids grow into adults and still maintain their fascination with Disneyland because they're remembering fondly the time in their life when they had no worries and were in Disney.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of the charm and part of why I like it.
Yeah.
It's a nostalgia factor. So I get it if you're Australian and have never, I mean, it's a hell, I mean, what's the closest one to you guys? Shanghai Disney, maybe. Or Isn't Tokyo there, Disney Sea, maybe.
Is there a Hong Kong Disney?
There is.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Anyway, the point is, you know, if you want to see it from an Australian's point of view, there's a YouTube channel called it's a new one just started called Review Time. I believe it's THYME.
Oh.
And it's this Australian guy who used to work at Disney, who now reviews all these theme parks. And talks extensively about even Australian theme parks. So
fascinating.
But that's the gist of it, I think, you know? Escapism. The world is terrible. Why not go to a place where you can pretend the world isn't terrible? Meanwhile, you're essentially supporting one of the largest conglomerate media companies on the planet.
Yep.
But you're having a great time at their theme parks.
All right, moving on. It's from Sean.
I love you, Disney and ABC parent company. ABC's Disney.
I can totally understand Matt's experience with reading Into Thin Air. The first time I finished the book, I had to immediately read it again. Anatoly Bukharov, the guide on the Mountain Madness team who refused to use supplemental oxygen, also wrote a book called The Climb that tells the story from his perspective. Sean, one human in a 400 square foot studio in San Jose, California.
It's funny. He sort of wrote that as like a counterpoint to Krakauer's book. because he felt like overly criticized. But then, like in Krakauer's book, like constantly talking about the heroic actions he took to save people.
Interesting.
So I'm like, what? Do you really have a problem with being called heroic?
Interesting.
Very interesting.
All right. We have a voicemail.
Hey, Matt and Dory. I had decided I needed to call you guys on my drive here from Louisville, Colorado, up to Loveland, Colorado, to make a delivery. But you were just talking about deaths on Everest. We actually lost our company's patent attorney this year. He had climbed Everest and had come down to base camp and just passed away in the night. It was actually, he had accomplished his life goal of climbing all seven highest peaks on all seven continents. He was quite a guy. His name was Chris Kulish, if you want to look him up.
I do.
Love the pod. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Wow.
Seven peaks. That's the seven tallest peaks on the seven continents, honey.
Wow.
So it's was first done in the early to mid 80s by like a Texas billionaire.
Cool.
And then it became a thing. Wow. All right. I wonder if he must have had altitude sickness.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Yeah. To get all the way back down to base camp.
Oof.
Hopefully he went peacefully.
Yeah.
Content in knowing that he had done it.
Yeah. Well, switching gears. It's from Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys. Have been binging Instant Hotel since you guys mentioned it last week, and I adore it. I've got to say, I really preferred Group 1 to Group 2 in Season 1. Same
Agreed.
Here.
Agreed.
Group 2 was out for damn blood. Anyway, I adore Tristan and Beck, but I'm bummed because for some reason their episode didn't show the activity. What's that all about? Poor editing? Did I miss something? We said the same thing.
Okay, we thought the same thing, too. So I'm guessing something was cut. And I'm going to guess it was either one of the following reasons. They used a song in the original edit that they couldn't afford to put on Netflix. They used a lot of logoed boards for whatever team she's going, and they couldn't get the rights for it. But yes, I loved Tristan and Beck.
And it's a shame because in the ratings, most of the couples talked about how much they love the location and activities.
Yeah. And then Dory and I were like, we must have missed something.
And they showed some like snippets of them.
Yeah.
And we were like, wait, we didn't see that.
Yeah.
Very weird. Anyway, thanks for the rad suggestion. Give Bo a belly rub and Henry, Hank, as I call him to myself, a baby high five for me.
I will.
Love from
anybody
Philly.
Out there of Instant Hotel fame who listens? Babe or Bondi, are you trying to have a baby?
Bondi? Okay.
Hey guys, this is Vera. I post podcast. After Matt was saying he wished that there was an ITV version for here in the U.S. And there actually is something similar. It's called BritBox, BritBox.com. It's a subscription service that gives you stuff both from ITV and from BBC. It's sort of like BBC America, but you get more shows from the ITV catalog, and it has like a monthly and a yearly subscription service. So just wasn't sure if you guys knew about that. Maybe you want to check it out, give it a chance, help you guys out if you are looking for other stuff to get over here across the pond. Thanks. Look forward to hearing from you guys. Bye.
All right, I'm on BritBox's website right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to search. There's two things I need. I need Bargain Hunt. No Bargain Hunt. I need Cash in the Attic. No Cash in the Attic.
Oh, boy.
Maybe I could get myself a... by the way, this DSI Bancroft is a show Dory would love.
What is it?
On the surface, Elizabeth Bancroft is a model, DSI, trusted, adored, and respected by her colleagues. But what secrets lie beneath this veneer?
Ooh, yeah, yeah. I love when a secret lies beneath a veneer.
Yeah, someone else was telling me about this the other day. I think we were talking about it at work. See, this is interesting, because they've got a lot of different... There's a lot of stuff in here. If I watched more TV, I would definitely be on board with this situation.
With super yachts.
Are you kidding me? Britain's biggest super yachts? I'd be watching that in a second.
I know. That sounds like right up your alley.
Cameraman to the Queen? Let's see. What else would I be watching here? You know, obviously classic Doctor Who. The Doctor Who Comic-Con panel. I love it.
What's Country File?
Cranford. Dame Judi Dench. Country File Spring Diaries. Experience the beauty of British countryside as it comes to life in this magical season through this exploration of the region's wildlife, history, and culture.
Oh, I would enjoy that.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, that sounds very calming.
Cracker seems good because Robbie Coltrane's in it. I really like Robbie Coltrane. Guys, this is a BritBox thing. What a way to go. What else do we got here? Dead Good Job is about a funeral home? I don't know.
A lot of Doctor Who.
Dirk Gently. Boy, oh boy. Father Brown, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Fawlty Towers.
Oh boy.
Flog It is an auction show.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, Gardner's World. That looks promising.
Good Morning Britain, of course. The Hairy Bikers. Let's see. What else do we got?
How to Lose Weight Well.
Oh, that's a good one. I'll watch that because I need to know all that information. Last of the Summer Wine. That ran for 8 seasons from 1973 to 1985. Fascinating.
A lot of Agatha Christie.
Sure.
Oh, Midsommar Murders. Love that show. It's on Netflix.
Show called Mum that seems like it's probably pretty good.
Murdered Boyfriend?
My Boy Jack with Daniel Radcliffe and Kim Cattrall.
Okay.
I'm loving all of this.
What's that dog thing?
Which one? That For one. The Love of Dogs?
Yes.
Comedian and dog lover Paul O'Grady brings his affectionate, funny presenting style to a show that explores the unbreakable bond between man and dog.
Oh, and another show called Puppy Love.
Oh, you got QI. That's fun. Red Dwarf. A Rowan Atkinson rewind that's 10 minutes long. All
well,
right.
I think you're going to subscribe to this.
I wish I watched
well, you don't have
more
time.
Television.
You don't have time.
And honest to God, if Bargain Hunt was sitting there right at the top, I'd be on this in a second. The Great Chelsea Garden Challenge. Maybe I'd watch that. Instant Gardener. Oh, boy, oh, boy. The Best of the Office, which is the British Office. Oh, boy, honey. This is going to be really something. Oh, Upstairs, Downstairs, the 2010 reboot.
All right. Okay.
I mean, look, I got through everything. I'm now at Zen and 5x5, so.
All right. Well, we got a late-breaking email
okay.
from Maria.
Okay.
Dear Dory and Matt, I am racked with shame about being the Instant Hotel spoiler. Dare I give you my excuses?
I mean, I'll hear them. But
one, here's what my brain registered. Matt, Gene and Sharon, geez, grr. Dory, no spoilers. Matt, Gene and Sharon, grr, sheesh. Dory, no spoilers. In other words, you guys didn't like Gene and Sharon, and I heard Dory reminding Matt, no spoilers for the listeners. I suppose I could listen to the episode again and find out that perhaps Dory was telling the listeners not to spoil it for you, but I'm humiliated enough already. Two, it turns out I watched season 2 first and quickly got to the final Gene and Sharon episode. Since you said you had binged watched, it simply didn't enter my mind that you hadn't already seen it. My very bad.
Gene and Sharon, which ones are they?
The older gentleman with the wife who like waits on him.
Yes, the former New Zealand pop star.
Yes. Three, does the fact that I'm 78 and therefore clearly on the way to senility count?
No.
However, I do broaden the diversity of your audience.
You do, absolutely, and we appreciate that. And I think that if you watch Instant Hotel at our behest, great. Or if you were just finally excited to talk to anyone about it, we understand.
Yeah, we do. Thank you for adding that it didn't make a big difference in your enjoyment of the show. Nevertheless, I'm deeply sorry to break the spoiler rule. As a side note, but to the point of your podcast, my niece with old eggs and her husband with dumb sperm had science babies last month. Her husband works at UPenn, and their insurance covers two rounds of IVF, but requires that two embryos are transferred each round. It surprised everyone both embryos implanted very nicely the first round, and now they have twin boys. Well, your humble fan, Maria.
Maria, P.S. Thank you.
Spoiler alert, the Casketeers. People die. Maria seems cool.
Maria seems to know what's what.
Yeah. Okay, we have one last email from Mordecai.
Okay, Mordecai, let's hear it. What are your movie reviews?
He says, always happy to share my thoughts on all things pop culture. Given that I have so little time that I need to cram in podcasts at 3X, I'll need to keep my review equally paced. Ant-Man and the Wasp. I know Ant-Man. I'm pretty sure he's cousins with Mendel Ant-Man of the Flushing Ant-Mans. I'm not so sure about the Wasp, though. I'm pretty sure she drinks gin and tonics and eats little sandwiches made with white bread and mayo. That's... Conclusion, Ant-Man, Jewish. The Wasp, scary goyish.
Well, you know, this is my kind of review, because it really gets to the bread and butter of what's happening here.
You mean the bread and mayo?
Yeah. The bread and whitefish.
Yeah. Thank you, Mordecai.
I can't wait for his Spider-Man Far From Home.
That's review. Your assignment for next week, Mordecai. All right. Reminder that you can support us on Patreon and get up to 2 bonus episodes per month at patreon.com/excellentadventure.
Spider-Man's from Queens.
Yep, he sure is. A huge thanks to our Patreon supporters. We really appreciate your support. If you support us at the $5 level or above, you get a bonus episode and you get your name read on the podcast each month. And don't forget, if you start supporting us on Patreon, you also get the whole back catalog of Patreon episodes. And there are a lot of them.
There'll be 2 more at the end of this month.
Yep. All right.
Sandy Barry.
Alexandra Faye.
Amanda Schramm.
Andrea.
Anna Appleton Clayton.
Anonymous.
Ashley Miller.
Ashley Wager.
Brian Gusky.
Carolyn.
Chadwin.
Christina.
Claire Dealey.
Danny Cav.
Danielle Nutsaforo.
Deanna McLean.
Elise Dayton.
Eliza.
Elizabeth.
Elliot Anaya.
Gita Dury.
Greer Watson.
Holly Purpura. Purpura?
Purpura?
Purpura.
Jackie Spagnuolo.
Jane Ennis.
Jennifer Simon.
Jennifer T. Brennan.
Jennifer Wang.
Jenny Fick.
Joanna Reinwald.
Jordan Hamesley.
Kaylee Hendrickson.
Kalila.
Karen Perelman.
Katie Combs Pritchard.
Katie Joyner.
Katie McKenzie.
Carrie L.
Laura Bennett.
Lauren K.
Lauren Schultz.
Lynn Nugent.
M. Upcher.
Madeline Deathfluffs.
Maggie Scow.
Manamana.
Mara Foss.
Maria Bishop.
Mary M.
Mary Messick.
Megan Drury.
Melanie Bronbeck.
Michelle Chudzinski.
Nancy Olson.
Nicole Mustafa.
Olga Zilstra.
Rebecca Dawson.
Rebecca Tran.
Robin
Reeks.
And Samantha. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. If you want to do that, head over to patreon.com/excellentadventure. Otherwise, we'll catch you here each and every week on a podcast about IVF from people who went through IVF and now have a baby.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.